Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily podcast on the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Locked On Cavaliers, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network and Fear the Sword, SB Nation's Cleveland Cavaliers blog. As always, I am Chris Manning, your host from Fear the Sword and the Step Back. Today, it's a Monday. That means it's a mailbag Monday. I'm going to answer your questions that you guys send in to Locked On Cavs on Twitter or to LockedOnCavs@gmail.com. Got a bunch of great questions. As you guys have been doing the last couple weeks, they've been utterly fantastic, and they're going to be fun to answer. But a couple things to run through first. Most notably, and I think the thing everyone's going to be most excited about, is that Deron Williams is going to be a Cleveland Cavalier. As I record this, it is not official yet, but every indication that we have so far is that he is going to be a Cleveland Cavalier as of Monday. I don't know if that means he'll be active Monday night against the Bucks. My guess is that his debut may come Wednesday against Boston, which, just considering physical and maybe getting a practice in or a workout with the team in, but it's sort of been confirmed by the team. Kyle Korver talked about wanting to, recruit him and helping recruit him to the Cavs after Saturday's win. Ty Lue acknowledged it as well. So this is happening. I think he's a big addition. We're going to do a whole show on him for Tuesday with Tim Cato from Mavs Moneyball. That is the plan as of now. So that'll be great as well. Additionally, it looks like Andrew Bogut may be on his way to Cleveland as well. Now, we've talked about him. We talked about him last week with Justin Rowan. He is currently getting a buyout from the 76ers, so there isn't quite a timetable yet for when Bogut is going to hit the market and become available and able to sign with a team like Cleveland. But it's an interesting addition. He's had a good rebounding year, even though he's had some knee and calf and ankle injuries and hamstring injuries. He has played in 26 games. He could get more money from a team like Houston that is also interested in him. And the Cavs are not, again, like Houston, they are not the only team interested in Bogut, so it's more of a market for him. But he looks like he's going to come to Cleveland. He looks like he wants to be here. I don't know if I love the fit. I think I would go with Sanders, as I said last week, go with Larry Sanders. But if you're thinking win now, Bogut may be the better option just because he had played in the NBA this year. Sanders, of course, has not, even though Ty Lue did really, really sing his praises. The other thing is Bogut does have the potential to be sort of an Anderson Varejao type thing where he signed with the Cavs, like Varejao signed with the Warriors last year and is just awful. He hasn't looked good this year. He labors up the court on offense and all this stuff with Dallas. So not a great year for Mr. Bogut, but we'll see how he fits. And a locker room fit could be interesting as well, considering his views and how that doesn't necessarily mesh with everybody else that's maybe a little more liberal than Bogut. But interesting to note that Bogut spent 1 year playing with Tyronn Lue with the Milwaukee Bucks in 08-09 and spent 2 years as Richard Jefferson's teammate in Golden State. So he has played with guys in this locker room before, there are some connections there. So we'll see if that happens. That could happen today as well. Could be a little bit later in the week, but these are things that are rolling. And again, for the Cavs to get Bogut, that means they would have to cut somebody. They could let Derek Williams' contract expire and just have Bogut. But he's been a part of the rotation. I think they want him around. I think what they're going to do is cut Jordan McRae, or they could cut DeAndre Liggins. One of those two guys, I think, will be gone, and they're going to keep Derek Williams around for the rest of the year, because Derek Williams is actually going to play, and Jordan McRae and DeAndre Liggins are just not going to at this point. So that is going to cause them to take on some sort of salary punishment. But I think McRae's the guy, and I do think there's a good chance he ends up in Canton as well, and maybe ends up on the Cavs Summer League team or something like that, depending on how this all shakes up, because he is liked by the organization, even if he hasn't quite lived up to the type of potential that they maybe thought he could. The Cavs did also play a game this weekend, losing 117-99 against the Chicago Bulls. Kind of a rough loss. No Love, no LeBron James. The Cavs are now 4-19 without LeBron James since the start of the 2014-15 season. Don't think this means that much. The Cavs still have a good little cushion on top of the Eastern Conference as they head into a week where they play Atlanta, Miami, Boston, and Milwaukee, four Eastern Conference teams all in or in the thick of the playoff picture, which is crazy to say about Milwaukee, or to say about Miami, excuse me. But that's sort of where they're at. The game doesn't matter that much. I don't think that game should tell you anything about Kyrie or anything like that. You just you lose games when you don't have two or three best players, and you also don't have J.R. Smith. And that's just sort of how it was. Kyrie was great. They didn't lose that game because of him. They lost that game because at one point they had a lineup of Liggins, Korver, Derek Williams, Shumpert, and or James Jones, and Channing Frye. So when you run that lineup out there, like, things are just not going to go great. And that lineup's playing not just a minute, it's playing 5 minutes. So kind of a wonky lineup there from Tyronn Lue. But before we get into today's questions, today's podcast is brought to you by SeatGeek. Now, SeatGeek, as you guys know, is the best way to buy and sell tickets right on your phone. You can get on any smartphone. They have a great website as well if you're more into using a computer or your tablet. And this is a company that's going to give you the best deal on your tickets. You can find tickets to any concert, any game, anything you want to go to that requires a ticket, you're going to find that on SeatGeek. They pull all the best deals in from every ticket set out there, so you know you're getting all of your bases covered. You know you're going to get the best deal, and they're going to grade your ticket based on if it's a good deal or if it's a bad deal. You're going to get to see a view from your seat as well, so there's going to be no confusion and no disappointment when you arrive to the arena or to whatever venue your event's at. And you're going to just know exactly what you're getting when you use SeatGeek. I've used it before. I used it a lot. If I need tickets and I've missed the first selling point, I'm going to use SeatGeek. I used it to get Migos tickets. I've used it to get Cavs tickets before. It's a great way to get tickets no matter where you are. And today, my listeners can save $20 on that first purchase by using the promo code LOCAVS. That's LOCAVS. And you're going to save $20 on that first purchase. So again, download SeatGeek, go under the settings tab, enter the promo code LOCAVS, and save $20 off your first purchase using SeatGeek. And now we'll get into this week's mailbag questions, which of course you can submit to @LockedOnCavs on Twitter, on the Reddit post that I put up on the r/Cavs page, and to LockedOnCavs@gmail.com. Now, before actually we get into this, I want to just shout out the fact that we've got just so many great listeners out there. Our numbers have been going up and up and up. I want to make sure, just give you guys a shout out, because again, you are what makes the show great to do. You guys are what makes the show worth doing every single day, and I just want to say thank you. We have listeners from Australia, from across the U.S., and from Bergen, Norway. That's one of our latest Twitter follows. It's from Bergen, Norway, a city I was in this past summer because I am Norwegian and I got to go visit my family and all that stuff. So, tusen takk, which is thank you, Norwegian, to all the listeners out there. Thank you for being just so fantastic. And again, if you do like the pod, I wouldn't mind if you went and dropped a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. You can be something as simple as this from Jack24. He wrote, "Awesome, recommended." Leave us a 5-star rating interview. It's going to help other people find the show, and share it on Twitter and tell your friends. And thank you again for being such a great audience and for making this show fantastic. So, first question comes from Perry Kellis. He says, "Chris Broussard said something interesting, and I want to know if you agree. He said Deron Williams would be the best point guard on the bench in the NBA. Do you think that?" I think he'd have an argument, but I think Patty Mills, Sean Livingston, and Marcus Smart all come in a bit higher for me. I think Williams is going to do great in his role, but Patty really is almost a co-starter in San Antonio. Livingston does a lot of really important work for the Warriors, and Marcus Smart does just so many really vital things for Boston behind Isaiah Thomas, especially because of what he does defensively. Corey Joseph could be in there as well, although he's had sort of a bad year. And J.J. Barea, shouts to him for being eternally awesome. So I think it's close. I think he's in the discussion. I think he's certainly going to be a very, very good backup point guard for the Cavs, as you can read over at Through the Sword. We've had a lot of great pieces up about him already. So, you know, that's certainly something to watch out for. But I don't think he's quite the best. I think he's going to be very, very good. He might be better than Delly, and I think he's better than anyone they have on the roster. And I think that's sort of what matters. So, next question comes from Ashaf48Shaft on Twitter. He's got a great Twitter avi of Richard Jefferson smoking a cigar. He asks, when will David Griffin be able to sign a contract extension for himself? How does that work? Who does he negotiate with? So, we will enter this sort of all in one way. He negotiates with Dan Gilbert and the other Cavs owners and anyone above him. He basically is negotiating with them because those are his bosses. Whereas he and the rest of the Cavs front office staff would negotiate Lou and other guys, he is going to negotiate with his bosses, so the owners of the team, his direct supervisors. He could sign it tomorrow. He could sign it today. There's no time on when he has to sign, when there isn't a mandatory period. He can just sign his contract extension, I believe. If I'm wrong, let me know. I'm wrong sometimes, but from what I can tell, I think that's true. David Griffin is going to get paid. You know, you may have seen me tweet this or mention this on the show, but he is a free agent come summer. I don't think there's a reason to believe he's going anywhere, but this guy's going to get paid. It wouldn't shock me if he gets something like the $8 million Bob Myers gets from the Warriors, the $9 million R.C. Buford gets from the Spurs, be paid like a Masai Ujiri. He's going to get a pay bump. He's currently making $5.8 million, and if they win a second title, he's probably going to get paid even more. He already deserves a pay raise because what Griff has done is just phenomenal. I think he's been more than deserving of winning an Executive of the Year award. There's no cap on the salary for this, so David Griffin could get paid $100 million if Dan Gilbert wanted to do that. Now, executives don't get paid that much, but this guy is due for a pay bump. And I think if he wants it and if the team wants it, he could really be shaping the Cleveland Cavaliers for a long, long time. He really could be shaping the Cavs for as long as he wants to, as long as in the post-LeBron era things don't tank out really, really fast. I do really, really believe you could see David Griffin getting paid $9, $10, $11 million, and just running the Cavs. That would not shock me, and I think that's something that would really be sort of good for the team and good for the Cavs. I think it gives you stability, gives you an elite executive, a guy who's just fantastic at his job, and I think he's going to get paid like that come summer. But if they wanted to announce something tomorrow, I firmly believe he could. But don't know, have any inside info about the negotiations, but all right, so next question comes from JimRun85, James Watson. He asks, where do you think Terrence Jones goes? And if Calder ends up signing with Golden State, do you think he's playable against Cleveland? We'll take the latter one first. I think Jose Calderon, he certainly is useful. He can create. Interesting that the Warriors are going with him over Briante Weber. But I don't think he's playable against the Cavs. You play him against the Cavs should immediately just put Kyrie Irving out there and let him torch him and run pick and rolls and pick and rolls and pick and rolls. He's an awful defender. So maybe that's their Vergeau signing for this year, the veteran they take a flyer on. We'll see. He's getting that buyout from the Lakers from what we understand. So I don't think it's going to work out that well. The Terrence Jones thing is interesting because I don't think we've really heard much about him yet. He's cleared waivers after being waived by the Pelicans. He's going to want to go somewhere he can get minutes. That was sort of the point of him playing in with the Pelicans, was that they needed front court help and he could show out there because he's trying to get a more lucrative contract next summer. So I think a place that makes sense for him has to be sort of a bad team or team needed front court help. I think the Nets would honestly make sense. If I was Brooklyn, I would take a flyer on him. I've seen Houston people tweet about him. I don't know if I like that necessarily, but I don't know if he's going to get thrown into a playoff team. Maybe the Clippers could, you know, take a flyer on him, I guess, but the Nets, just because they need talent, and he would certainly get to play and do stuff there. That's what I would do if I was him. If you're not worried about winning, and he shouldn't be at this point, really, he should be trying to rehabilitate his value, because two summers ago, this guy might have got paid just a ton after a season. Then he just had a terrible year, didn't get paid very much. So I do think he should go to, like, Brooklyn. That's what I would do if I was him. Just try to rebuild that value by playing on a really bad team that needs all the talent it can get. All right, next question comes from Tommy Spoko. He asks, if the Cavs deem their need for backup PG is vital, who's more likely to go, or backup big is vital, excuse me, who's more likely to go, Jordy McRae or Derek Williams, or could they assign Felder to the charge for the remainder of the season to open up a roster spot? So as I said, I think McRae would go. I think they like Derek Williams a lot. I think the team really is going to utilize him. Just so everyone knows, I got a couple questions about this, so this isn't just one person asking me this. The Cavs, because of Felder signed to them as a franchise, you cannot just assign him to Canton and wipe him off your roster. He is with the Cavs. If he goes on assignment like he did this weekend, and he did play pretty well for the Charge, he has to be on the team for the year. It's not like you can just ship him off and that's it. Unless they sign him to a two-way deal where you could clear the roster spot and see, we'll see how those really work. He's going to be on the roster even if he's on assignment. He takes up a roster spot. So they have to cut him to do that. And they're obviously not going to do it. I think they will cut McRae. But I do think you will see a lot of Kay Felder and Kay in the rest of the year. Quinn Cook has signed with the Mavs. He's going to get a shot there. I wonder how long he will stick there, just because they have Yogi Ferrell. J.J. Barea is coming back. I kind of forgot about J.J. Barea when I wrote up the news post about Quinn Cook. So we'll see if he actually sticks there. I don't really think he will, unless he gets to play a lot. Again, Yogi Ferrell, J.J. Barea, Seth Curry. He's going to be in a pinch for minutes there. So I do think you'll see a lot of Kay Felder and Canton as a side answer to this. I think it's the best thing for him right now. He's not going to play when Deron Williams is around. So I would just say Kay Felder a lot in Canton. He doesn't clear a roster spot. If the Cavs could just clear a roster spot by having him in Canton, I think they might do it, to be honest with you. But you're gonna see him as a proverbial yo-yo between now and the end of Canton season, I do think. Perry Kellis had another good question. He asked, how would it feel to potentially add a good rebounder on the bench in Bogut? He's not having a great season, but still at 8 per game. If I was the Cavs, because I don't really feel particularly about it, I'm not really vested in that, I think he would be good as a rebounder. He's not my first choice. Again, I would rather have Sanders. I would rather have Larry, but he's a good rebounder. I'm concerned he might be washed. And the rebounding is not really an issue I have with the Cavs. I mean, they're 11th in the league right now. They're going to struggle right now because Derek Williams isn't a good rebounder. You don't have Kevin Love. LeBron has strep. And if he's not playing, their rebounding is going to suffer. Channing Frye is not a good rebounder. So Bogut's going to help in that regard, but I think if his biggest thing with him is going to be as a rim protector and as just a healthy big body. The Cavs need some rim protection. You lose offensively some with him. You can't really play him and Fry together, I don't think. So that's going to be an awkward fit, but even if you get some DMPs, I think there are going to be times where you can utilize Andrew Bogut. But I think it's more so as a rim protector and then cleaning up rebounds, but not so much as just him as in a vacuum as a rebounder. I don't think that's going to be his most valuable skill with the Cavs, assuming he does sign, because, again, that's not official yet. Tommy Spoko had another good question. He asked, do you think any bigs aside from Bogut will get bought out, such as Tyson Chandler? I don't think so. I think that the buyout market could be pretty robust. After it looked, maybe it was going to be a little bit dead, but I do think it's kind of, we know what it's going to be. Chandler seems pretty happy in Phoenix. He's playing pretty well there. He's getting paid a lot, so I don't know if he's going to get bought out. I don't know if he's quite in ring-chasing mode yet. Bogut's probably the top pick there, and if the Cavs don't sign him, someone like Boston, someone like Houston, someone like some other teams linked with him are going to go after him. Golden State could, you know, sign him actually because of a loophole in the CBA. So I don't think that many more bigs are going to get bought up, but guys like Tyreek Evans, guys like Langston Galloway, guys, if you know, Omri Casper is going to be a free agent, even though he is hurt now. You're going to have other guys that aren't bigs that are going to be free agents. And how this buyout market sort of plays out is going to be really interesting, because if the right guy comes available, it wouldn't shock me if the Cavs decided to just go all the way in and get, let's say, Tyreek Evans. Let's say the Cavs cut McRae and they keep Derek Williams for the rest of the year. And let's say in a week the Kings reverse their decision and Tyreek Evans gets bought out. Tyreek Evans becomes a free agent. The Cavs decide we want that guy. He wants to come to Cleveland, although I think he could do a Joe Johnson type thing and get paid more and play somewhere else. Just, but let's say he wants to come to Cleveland in this scenario. I could totally see the Cavs cutting DeAndre Liggins then and then going to get Tyreek Evans. So if someone does become available, don't say the Cavs are out of it just because they have a roster spot, because I think they do have a willingness, even if it's a bit real, if they don't want to spend a lot of that money, some of that is going to just be get the best guy. And if that means cutting somebody, that means cutting somebody. Next question comes from Arnav Chirian. He said, is Korver okay? Any updates on his knee? So Korver, if you saw the game or you saw my tweets about this, he did go down against the Bulls, walked off, went back to the locker room, then came back and was walking. He did say in the locker room post-game that it was going to be worse. I'll just play you his answer to that question real quick so you can hear it directly from him.
How you're doing and feeling?
I'm feeling fortunate. I feel like that could have been a lot worse. It was really scary. You know, I landed kind of straight-legged and got hit. And you've seen a lot of bad injuries happen when that happens. But I think it's going to be okay. Structurally, it's fine. It's just bruises and sore. So it'll be okay.
Your knee on the floor or on the backstop or what?
I don't know what it was, but something I felt like, I haven't seen the replay, but it felt like I either got hit right before I landed. I kind of landed straight-legged. And like something just went into my knee and... So, yeah, it's just an awkward landing.
Obviously, you got to see about swelling and tightness and all that, but do you think you'll be all right to play on Monday or anything like that?
I think we'll see how I feel tomorrow, but I don't like to miss games, so it'll be fine.
What did you test it out post-game? What did you do with Steve?
Just all the structural tests, make sure ACL and MCL and all the ligaments are fine. So I didn't do any, like, jumps or anything. But just kind of the regular stuff.
So you heard it from Korver himself. He doesn't seem too worried about the injury. The Cavs do have a Monday morning shoot-around, so as you're listening to this, if you're listening to this early Monday or in the afternoon on Monday prior to Cavs-Bucks, this could be different, but as of now, I would expect him to play, but we will see if that changes. A lot of it will, again, depend on what he said about the swelling and stuff, and there will definitely be some benefit to him sitting out just because there isn't a rush to play him. All right, and last question comes from James Watson again. He says, if you're Griff, who are you cutting to sign Bogut, McRae, or Liggins, and why? McRae. Liggins, yeah, if you look at ESPN's defensive RPM stat, he rates out really, really well on the defensive end. Not a good offensive player, but that's a guy who I think really can play well on defense. Additionally, he is a good corner three-point shooter. I think you could get away with playing him if you needed to. I wouldn't say I'd want to, but I think you'd get away with him if you needed to. I just think he has more uses on two ends of the floor than Liggins, who is sort of a one-dimensional guy and isn't all that great at that one dimension. I think Liggins is just a better player. McRae's a nice guy. I think he could be, again, developed into something. Would not shock me if he ends up in Canton. You could see him, Felder, and if Quinn Cook ends up back there, and Eric Moreland, game could have a lot of interesting guys on that team in about a week's time, but I would cut McRae, and I wouldn't think twice about it. So that is going to be it for this Locked On Cavaliers mailbag show. Again, we'll be back tomorrow, post-Cavs Bucks, have a little recap there, have some Deron Williams and Andrew Bogut talk, hopefully with Tim Cato, and if that doesn't come, we're going to get Tim on the show, not 100% sure when it'll be, hopefully tomorrow. Well, we'll have a show tomorrow one way or another. Drop those mailbag questions whenever you think of them, whenever they pop up. Drop them to LockedOnCavs on Twitter or to LockedOnCavs@gmail.com or tweet me, CWM Rights. Like us on Facebook, leave them there as well. And we'll talk to you guys again tomorrow. This has been Chris Manning. It's been Locked On Cavs. Have a great Monday. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.